Hi everybody, it's me again, Will Alexander from Will Alexander's Dog Show Tips, brought to you in part by ProPlan Nutrition That Performs. Today I have a special treat for you. We're interviewing the one and only Luke Ehrt, and he told me to say it like Ehrt, almost a spit, which nowadays is not a good thing, but he said Ehrt. So that little t at the end, because people mix up his name quite a bit. I've known Luke for over 40 years though, so I really hope you enjoy this interview. I enjoyed doing it. And it was a lot of fun seeing Luke, and he's not all dressed up. He's just at his home, and it's a beautiful home. I sure hope you enjoy it. Thanks. Everybody. Today I'm here with my very longtime friend, Luke Ehrt. Did I say it well enough, Luke?
Yep, you got it pretty good.
All right, excellent. So I've known Luke probably for 40 plus years easily. We competed in junior handling together, and Luke is a renowned Shih Tzu breeder and handler along with his wife Diane, and they produce some of the world's top winning Shih Tzus of all time. So I'm going to ask Luke some questions because I'm sure everybody's curious about his answers might be. The first question is going to be a regular old question. How did you get involved in dogs, Luke?
Well, when I was 12, one of my friends in school, his parents bred and showed Bouvier to Flanders, and they lived just down the street from me. And it was the week of the Canadian National Sportsman Show. That was the first dog show I ever went to.
Oh, great.
And they invited me along to go with them, basically to entertain their kid so that they could show their dogs and not have to worry about their kid, you know, having nothing to do because he hated dog shows. And of course, I went there and I liked the dogs instantly. And we were set up next to a lady named Dr. Ellen Brown, who was showing Lhasa Apso at the time. And she asked me to hold dogs ringside for her. And I helped her and just held dogs. Of course, I didn't know what I was doing, but, you know, I was just there ringside making sure they didn't kill themselves, you know, off to falling off a table or something.
What breed
And
was this?
she had Lhasa Apso.
Okay, and they were the Terrier group back then.
Back then they were in the Terrier group, yeah. And I really enjoyed going to the dog show. And the sportsman show was a 7-day event back then. And I kept asking if I could go the next day. And I went most of the week with them. Their son wasn't really thrilled because he was still bored, but I was enjoying the dogs and I got to spend time with them and I really liked them. And then that lady, Dr. Brown, she's a veterinarian who lived maybe 20 minutes, half an hour from my house, asked me if I would like to come and work after school, which and help socialize some of her puppies. And so I talked my mother into driving me there after school several times a week, and I started doing that.
That's
And
excellent.
then she asked if I could go to the odd dog show on a weekend, because I was, of course, still in school and everything else, which I was, you know, happy to do because I really enjoyed it. And the following Christmas, she called me over to her office, and my mother took me there, and she came out from the back of her office with a little Lhasa Apso puppy that she gave me as a Christmas present.
What color was
And
that one?
it was a grizzle gray color.
I have pictures of you and I, and we're about, I don't know, I'm about 10 or 11, and you're older than I am. And I'm stacking up your Lhasa, and you're stacking up my Doberman. I still have those pictures somewhere.
That would have been probably after I had a couple of them. I don't think that was my very first one because the very first one I got, I started showing right away when I could, but and I did finish his championship, but he wasn't very friendly. He would have bit you.
Excellent. So you said 12 when you started.
Yeah.
And so would you consider Doc Brown as your mentor then?
Well, in a lot of
Your
ways, yes,
first one, yeah.
as far as the dog shows and how they worked. And she was a well-known veterinarian in that area and showed dogs. And she ended up then showing a lot of other dogs over the years. Like she had a Great Pyrenees from Lois McIntosh, which I believe she made number one dog all breeds
Yeah, Mike.
in Canada.
Yeah.
And she, you know, went to Westminster and I believe won the breed there with him and stuff like that. And she was a pretty remarkable lady. She was showing dogs well into her 80s.
I remember Doc Brown. I remember we used to go there for her to work on some of our dogs, our Dobermans, when I was a kid. So what year did you start Shih Tzus then? When did Shih Tzus become part of it?
I bought my first Shih Tzu the next year. I also had a paper route as a kid and saved my money. And whenever I wasn't home to do my paper route, my mother did my paper route so I could go to dog shows, but I got the money. And I was at a dog show. Actually, it was the Woodstock dog show, I think the following summer, 1973. And there was some people named Michael and Marilyn Corbett. They had a dog supply booth, Kaduna. Do you remember that?
I remember Kaduna, yep.
And they had Basenjis and Shih Tzus. And Shih Tzus had only been recognized a few years. And they had this litter of Shih Tzu puppies behind their booth, which I thought were just adorable. And I used to help them as well at their booth, loading, unloading, doing stuff. You know, I was like everywhere at the dog show, helping whoever. And I asked them if I could buy one of their puppies, and I used some of my money from my paper route, and then I also worked in their booth to work off the rest of it, and I came home with a new puppy that weekend.
So did your mom let you have all the money, even though she did some of the work?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that's good, Mom.
She didn't want me to have all the puppies. Well, actually, she didn't care. I could have anything I wanted. I was pretty spoiled.
Yeah,
my dad wasn't too thrilled about it.
So then you got into Shih Tzus, and when did you start with Shente, Mrs. Brown? Because I remember you with Brandy. Brandy Alexander is the first dog that caught my eye with you. And actually, I won my very first Best in Show in, I think it was Chatham. And your dog, Brandy, was in the ring, and that made my win even bigger because we had beaten you guys.
Oh.
Anyway, sorry, I got off topic.
Yeah. Brandy, I believe, was born in December 1978, and I had shown other, you know, breeds of dogs. I actually the first Best in Show I ever won was on a Pembroke Welsh Corgi, bred by Christy Francis, which was her first. Dog, it might have even been from her first litter, I don't know. She had sold the dog to a lady, and then I remember she wanted to show him, and the lady lived not far from where I did, and Christy used to have to go and pick him up before the dog show every weekend and take him back after the show.
That wasn't Max, though, was it?
No, that was George.
George, okay. I remember Max.
Stonecroft Rain Check. Max was the tricolor one that came after.
Yeah, okay.
But anyhow, I won my very first Best in Show with George, and that was at the Cars Kennel Club under Mrs. Augustus Riggs IV. But anyhow, Brandy was born in December of 78. I showed him at Kawartha in the 6 to 9 puppy class and won puppy and group with him when he was a baby. And then I don't know that I showed him again or not, but the following year then, so it would have been, I guess, 1980, he was a year and a half or something. I showed him at the Elgin County Kennel Club, and he won his first Best in Show there under Joe Gregory.
Wow.
And that was my first Best in Show with a Shih Tzu.
Now, I remember there's a famous story about when you first saw Brandy. I don't know if it's true, but it's you had this puppy in your hand, and you said, "Oh, Mrs. Brown, I can make this one a star." Is that a true story?
Yeah, that's true. That was back in Kawartha, and then she probably just, you know, thought, "Oh, the stupid kid, get him out of my way." But I ended up taking Brandy after that and showing him, and you know, we had a great career.
How many best did he win?
I really don't remember. I honestly
it was a lot. Until Christian, I think he was the greatest Best in Show winning non-sporting dog, I think.
Yeah, probably. He was, I think Brandy had 78 or something like that in Canada. But yeah. I also showed him one year in the United States, and he had 4 or 5 Best in Shows in the United States as well.
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a great career.
Yeah, and actually, of all the dogs that I've shown, he was the dog that I was probably the most attached to, even though I've had one since then that have won more. But he was just like a super special dog to me, and he won the national specialty in the United States 3 times. He won it the last time at 11 years of age from the veterans class under Mike Billings. And he also won the breed at Westminster Kennel Club under Norman Patton, who was a breeder judge, at 11 months and 11 years and 3 months, which was to me probably one of my most memorable wins just because of his age. And I knew that was absolutely finally had to be his last show.
I remember. And
he just, you know, he was a phenomenal dog. And also he won the Canadian Kennel Club Centennial 100th year best in show, which was truly, you know, another milestone. That's not going to happen again in my lifetime.
Right? Yeah, no, I remember that day I was there. Yeah. That was Bill Taylor, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, sure was.
Yeah. It was a great win. And then you, after that came Christian Dior.
Then Christian Dior. Yeah.
Now, these are both owned by Margaret Brown of Chantilly.
Right. Now, Christian Dior was not sired by Brandy Alexander. Actually, Christian Dior was sired by a dog that I owned that was a Brandy Alexander son named Smackers, that a friend of mine in the United States, Dee Shepherd, had bred to Brandy, and I bought the pick a litter puppy boy out of that litter, and that was Smackers, and I brought him to Canada, and he I only showed him a little while. He won a couple of best in shows.
I vaguely remember that name, Smackers.
Yeah. And then he his name was Willoway Stylistic Smackin' Good. Wow. And then he sired Christian Dior, which I believe Christian might have even been out of Brandy's litter sister or repeat breeding. It was pretty inbred.
So I guess you would say that Brandy is your favorite dog, though.
Yeah.
Overall.
Yeah. I mean,
hard I've had a lot of dogs
that I've been super attached to, but yeah. He was my heart. And, you know, he was the one I was the most probably crazed by.
You two, you know, made Luke Air, really.
Right? Yeah, in a lot of ways.
In a lot of ways in Canada. I remember you with Brandy. Anyway, so when did you first meet your wife, Diane?
I don't remember the exact year. I do know, I mean, Diane's parents bred Shih Tzus and she showed Shih Tzus in the United States. And of course, I, you know, being in Canada at that time, I didn't come to the States a whole lot, but I knew of her through the magazines and stuff like that, not thinking anything of it. But I did remember that I always saw nice dogs in the pictures. And she came to Canada once to judge the sweepstakes. And she also, in London, and she also had come up a few times to show a couple of her own dogs. And I remember I went up to her at a dog show and introduced myself, and she kind of blew me off and said, you know, I introduced myself. I said, hi, I'm Luke Eric. You know, I show Shih Tzus too and have Brandy Alexander and all that. And she just looked at me and said, oh, that's nice. And kind of turned it back on me. So our first meeting wasn't so great, but over time, we were at more dog shows together and more specialties and spent more time with each other and
just you wore her down.
Yeah, broke her down.
I actually remember that whole process because we were quite close at that point too. So I remember you speaking about Diane. So.
Yeah.
So. What do you think is your most favorite win that you've had?
Well, I do probably think, it's hard to say because I've had a lot of really great, memorable wins. You know, I've won 3 groups at Westminster, which to me is a milestone. I know, you know.
That was amazing.
Sure you've won best in show, but, you know, there's a lot of people that have never won a breed there, let alone a group, course. You know.
So like Garrett never won a breed there.
I know. And which I find amazing.
Oh yeah.
But you know, those were great wins, but I still think my breed win with Brandy when he was that age was probably the most emotional win for me just because of how many years we had shown together and been together and how much work I had put into him and our connection and everything. And like I said, I knew that was it. So that was probably the most emotional win, you know. And I remember in the toy group that year, it was Jackie Hungerland did the group. And the crowd was crazy for my dog in the group, but I didn't place in the group, which I really didn't think I would, because Jackie Hungerland never did a lot for him ever, even when he was younger. But he put on a great show, and I have wonderful pictures of it. And I remember afterwards, in the write-up that they did, at that point, Brandy was missing one of his front teeth. And I mean, literally, he did put on a performance. The group was won by Luke Ballou with the Pekingese, who's another Canadian. But I remember after.
Did he want to go best that night?
I think he did, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, under Frank Sabella. But I remember afterwards in the write-up, when she wrote about dogs, she commented that her placements might have been different had she known the age of the Shih Tzu, which I wouldn't have won the group, but I might have gotten a fourth.
Yeah.
But, you know, she penalized him because he was missing that one front tooth, and, you know, but.
Didn't realize his age.
It didn't matter. I was just so proud of him.
Oh, sure. Yeah. We've already talked about Doc Brown as being one of your mentors, and I don't know if Mark Brown in Shih Tzus was influential as well. What other people or mentors did you have that influenced you?
Well, probably the person that mentored me and I spent the most time with was Garrett Lambert.
Yeah.
I traveled a lot with Garrett, you know, and Doreen. I stayed many times at their house, you know, at his house. I went to a lot of dog shows with him. I stayed at his house in Montreal when he was still living with his mother. You know, and over the years, I did a lot with him. I never per se worked for him full time. I did travel with him on the Florida circuit and some shows like that. And I did go to almost every dog show for quite a while with him and Doreen, but I was doing my own thing. I just stayed with them and helped. But he had always a lot of great advice, and he was probably, you know, one of the best dog people that I knew. He worked for Bill Trainer as an assistant, and he just had a great knowledge, and he always gave me a lot of good advice and he kind of guided me through a lot of things and taught me a lot. And basically, you know, I just probably learned the most from him. I also learned a lot from Nigel Aubrey-Jones and Bill Taylor about dogs and what to look for in dogs and quality of dogs and teaching in dogs. I showed a couple of Pekingese for them back in the day. And I used to, anytime I was in Montreal or Quebec and they were injured, I'd help them with their dogs and showing and stuff like that. But he also taught me a lot about a lot of different breeds of dogs and gave me a lot of advice.
Oh, they're definitely icons of our sport, that's for sure.
Yeah, totally.
Do you have any advice for new handlers?
Well, I have a lot of advice, but I'm sure it will go on deaf ears nowadays because things have changed so much. I mean, when I started and when you started, you know, it seemed like the people doing it now are in a whole different mindset than what we were. I know I was just hungry for knowledge as a kid, and I wanted to experience so many different breeds, so many different dogs, but I never... I mean, I don't think that I ever got a paycheck from a handler as an assistant. I may have got dinner paid for me once in a while, or, you know, a place to sleep in a hotel room on the floor or something. But, you know, I never, or ride to the dog show where I didn't have to pay for gas, but as a kid. But, you know, I never ever did it strictly to make money and just to punch in a clock and leave. I mean, I was one of those people who, you know, would spend the entire night bathing my dogs. I mean, which was kind of crazy because I don't do it anymore. But I was so convinced that that would make them look better and fresher the next day if they were freshly bathed. So I'd do it during the night rather than the day before or 2 days before, which a lot of people do, you know, and it was just kind of my obsession. I've kind of outgrown that, but I think that, you know, I learned a lot through that. You have to all weigh it out. You know, sometimes I think the dogs, maybe they were too tired from all the grooming that I gave them. But I don't know. I just think kids nowadays need to really spend more time learning about the basics of dogs, the care of the dogs, the, you know, the different standards. I mean, when we went to a dog show, when we arrived, if I wasn't showing or grooming something or helping somebody or asking questions about something, I was sitting there watching, judging, no matter what it was. German Shepherds, Great Danes, you know, in any possible breed, whether I liked them or didn't like them, I still wanted to watch. And I tried to figure out why certain dogs won and certain dogs didn't win. And we stayed through Best in Show. I mean, all that stuff, because I couldn't get enough of it. And nowadays I see the kids, they go, they show their dogs, they lose. They're more worried about junior showmanship and or whatever. And then they leave and they, you know, don't do much or don't have that same kind of drive. I don't know. And if they're looking to work for a handler, all they're worried about is how much are you going to pay me?
Yeah, I agree.
Rather than what can I learn from you? You know?
And those are good points, Luke. And I agree on a lot of them. Because I remember when I worked for Gary, there were months I just didn't get paid. It was just the way.
Yeah, absolutely.
I didn't ask him for it. It was just, you know, I just wanted to be there. Anyway, what would you think is the funniest thing that ever happened to you in the ring?
Wow, I've had a lot of funny. I've had a lot of funny things. I don't know if I want to divulge some of the stories, but but
about the house coder.
Yeah, there was a time when. You know, I mean, we did have fun at dog shows,
for sure.
But I remember it was Barry Kennel Club, and I was asked to show a long-haired dog, mini long-haired dachshund, that Linda Torrance had at that time been specialing, and she was off somewhere showing something else, and this weekend happened to have judges that were really good for her little mini long-haired dachshund for her client in Ottawa, Irene Sportsman, and so they asked me if I'd show it there, and you know, the judges were great for it. And one morning after a night of partying with Billy Milne and a bunch of people, we woke up late because I don't know, probably didn't have anything on early and I wasn't working for a handler at the show. And I found out that when we woke up, it was like 10 to 8 and mini long-haired dachshunds were in at 8 o'clock after 2. I didn't even have time to get dressed. I threw on my house coat, grabbed the dog, and ran to my car. And I drove, I don't know, I'm sure it wasn't that far, but I got to the dog show and ran to the ring with a mini dachshund under my arm in the house coat, asking anyone if they could just take it in the ring. And then, of course, realized I didn't even have a leash for it. And it was the only one entered, I believe. It just had to get in the ribbon. But, you know, I was, after they had flown the dog in and everything, I was like, I don't think I can miss this. Then, of course, I went back, got dressed, took a shower, yeah. Came back.
It's part of Canadian lore now, I'm afraid. I'm sorry. Yeah,
I know. Everyone talks about it, so I figure I might as well tell it. But, and then there's another story, which was on the Tar Heel circuit one year. I was there showing, and I think I was with Garrett and Doreen, but I had quite a few of my own dogs to show that I was showing for other people at the time. And that was also a 7-day circuit. And I had two different class male Shih Tzus entered, one that only needed a major to finish and one that I was just starting out. And I didn't have them double entered. Back in those days, you really didn't do a lot of that, especially since I was showing them on my own. I didn't have anyone to necessarily show. So I entered one for part of the circuit, one for the other part of the circuit. And I also had like, I think toy poodles and probably a Westie and some other things. And I had a Shih Tzu special at the time. I don't remember which one. And anyhow, I got this dog groomed up and I sent him off to the ring and there was a major in dogs and this dog only needed a major to show. And this was long before cell phones, before catalogs online, before even computers. I mean, you couldn't, unless you looked in the physical, and every day was a different catalog. And anyhow, I groomed this dog up. I got someone to show it. I think it might've been Doreen, but I can't be sure. And she rushed up to the ring with this dog and said, and the classes were already in, and she said, what class is this? And the ring steward said, open dogs. And she said, oh, this is an open dog. And he said, well, here's the armband, because it was the only one not picked up. And she went in the ring and sure enough went winner's dog. And she came back to tell me, and I went back up, and there was a few bitches that I had to go up with my special. And so we get back up to the ring, and I'm looking to get my special's armband. And as I'm looking in the catalog, I see that the dog that she showed and went winner's dog with was not entered. The ring steward, that wasn't even entered. It was the only one that wasn't picked up, and the ring steward just handed her the armband for the only one not shown. And she showed this dog that was not entered. So of course, I had to confess right on the spot, because it wasn't even our dog that the armband was for. It was for no dog. I don't even know whose dog it was.
They wanted to be being there.
Yeah. So then, of course, they had to call the rep and the whole nine yards. And then, of course, they wouldn't let the dog compete, of course, for winner or for the breed. And they couldn't give the reserve winners. I mean, that came later through the paperwork. But it really ticked off the people with the winner's bitch, because then there was no best of winners and the major was in dogs. So, crazy times.
Okay, so with all this time off, what are you doing with yourself?
Well, I've been shredding 25 years of taxes and credit card papers and all kinds of stuff, so that I'm only keeping 10 years. There's no point keeping all those boxes and files from before that. And I had tons of it. So I've been doing that. I've been doing some gardening, and luckily enough, I picked up poison ivy.
Oh yeah. You told me. I'm
really happy about that. So I'm itchy. I've been sorting through pictures and putting some in books and going through a barn full of stuff, trophies, and just separating, organizing, throwing out stuff, just doing stuff that, should have been done probably a long time ago.
Purging almost.
Yeah.
Is there a skill or talent that we don't know about that you have?
Me?
Yeah.
Well, I've always been pretty much an open book, but I'm kind of world famous for my margaritas.
Oh yeah.
But I do like to cook, and I'm a pretty good cook. I think I cook every single night. I'm the cook in the house, and I always have been, and it's something I really enjoy. And I also put on, all our Christmas dinners, Thanksgiving dinners, all that kind of stuff ever since Diane's mother passed away. And whenever we have parties and stuff like that, I do all that, and I enjoy doing stuff like that. I have a really good time doing that kind of stuff, as long as nobody else is in my kitchen.
Sure. One last question then, Lou. Do you have any superstitions when it comes to dog shows?
I have a lot of superstitions. Oh yeah. Stupid ones, but they're mine. If I wear a tie if I show a dog that I think is fabulous and I should win, if I lose wearing that tie, I don't ever wear it again, unless it's someone who I'm almost positive I'm not going to lose the breed under or something. Then I might try it again if I really like the tie. Otherwise, I get rid of it. And I also am very superstitious about my dog's bow. And if I have a bow, if they go best in show with it or win the breed at the garden in it or something like that, that bow gets put on until it's almost unrecognizable as a bow. And if I do it, then I have to match it up. And then as soon as I have like some kind of like a defeat that I really am upset about, then I go to something totally different and I start fresh. Totally different color, totally different design, something. Because then I figure that luck's worn out.
Well, that seems to work for you.
So. Yeah. Oh, and I have a leash thing too.
Yeah.
But I think we all probably have that for certain dogs.
Yeah.
Where's his leash?
Anything you'd like to add? Any last question, last things?
The only thing that I think that I'd like to add is that, in these uncertain times, you know, we're all kind of on pins and needles as to what's going to happen in the dog world, let alone the real world. And that's, you know, a pretty scary proposition. I don't know if we'll ever get back to what we knew before. And that's sad, but I have to say, I am extremely grateful for the opportunities that this life has given me. I've had amazing success as far as, I'm not talking wins, I'm just talking about in life in general. You know, I've got to travel and see so much and experience so much. I've had some of the best people to work for, you know, that have been so generous and so enriching to my life, you know, and that I'll always be grateful for. And I'm a very sentimental person too. And even though I left Canada to come to the United States to be with Diane, you know, I haven't shown in Canada since 1992. I still have people, I have a lot of people and a lot of memories. I know now, you know, I see judges coming from Canada, people phone me up and say, who's this judge? And I'm like, I don't think they even showed a dog when I lived there, a lot of them. But, you know, I have people that I still feel such a close connection to, like you, you know, and just so many people, you know, there's so many. And I do, that's the one thing I do. I'm glad that I can stay connected through Facebook, at least with them. And, you know, whenever anyone of you guys come down here, it's always great. And it feels like I'm home again, you know.
I hope for the ones that didn't know you that well, I hope this answers some of their questions if they get a chance to watch this. Well, thanks, Luke. I really appreciate your time. I know you're busy gardening and getting over
your shredding papers.
I really enjoyed catching up with you. We talk regularly anyway, but I'm glad we got a chance to do this. I really appreciate it. Thanks, Luke. Yeah.
Well, I can't wait to sit down and have dinner with you again sometime.
For sure.
Take care.
I hope you guys liked that as much as I liked doing it. That was so much fun. Luke's such a great guy, and I'm glad he invited us to his house to do that interview. So if you liked what we did there and you learned something about Luke that you never knew before, or you didn't even know Luke maybe, and you learned a lot about Luke then, drop me a line. Tell me what other people you want me to interview, like anybody you can think of. Drop me a line at dogshowtips@gmail.com, and I'll do my very best to get it off to you there. And we have something special for you next episode. Next episode, we're doing Will Alexander's wake-up calls. That's where I'm going to be calling certain people, and because handlers are used to being woken up in the morning. Well, now, because of what's going on, they're not going to be woken up. So now Will Alexander is going to wake them up, and I'm going to ask them a question, and they're going to have to answer that question right away while they're still groggy. It'll be a lot of fun, trust me. Anyway, don't forget, if you really like this, to press the subscribe. But don't forget, we also have a library full of videos that maybe you haven't seen. There's videos on stacking, on moving your dog, on leads. There's tabling your dog. There's all kinds of videos. Go check those out. They're worth the watch. So until then, I'll talk to you soon. Take care now.